taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. I want to welcome you to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. We look at the world around us. We compare it to the freedom and liberty, the blessings of liberty protected by the Constitution. We point out its flaws. We relish in its benefits. And we try to figure out how do we proceed on a course to protect freedom and liberty in this country. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the story of the boy who cried wolf. I don't know. I've been around for quite a few years. Maybe it's fallen out of fashion, but we're all familiar with this idea of the boy who was out in the field and lied about there being a wolf until nobody believed him. And then finally, when there was a wolf and this boy cried for help, nobody showed up because nobody believed him. Now, crying wolf seems to have become the modus operandi of so much of our media class, our political class, those who believe they can rule us. What in any other country would be called a ruling class, we might call it the elite class. And a perfect example comes from this bozo Fauci. I'm sorry, I have absolutely zero respect for Mr. Fauci, and I wouldn't believe a thing this man said, which kind of made this story rather interesting. See, Dr. Fauci was interviewed on Teen Vogue. I don't know anything about Teen Vogue, do I have that it, but he kind of made the point. He said that young people don't exactly trust him because he's an old guy who appears on their TV and tells them to get vaccinated. Now, I don't know about you, and you know, I have a daughter who's not a teenager anymore, but I don't think people don't trust him because he's old. Maybe there are. I'm sure there probably are some people. I think most people don't trust him because he's not trustworthy. He has lied so many times. So much of what he's told us has either turned out to be true or the wrong advice or just plain stupid, in direct contradiction to the own data he points to. Nobody believes him. Now during this interview, I believe it was Mr. Fauci said, "The reason why I'm excited, I know a lot of people are excited about your being here, is that you would fall under the category of what we call a trusted messenger." Now, he was doing an interview with a pop star, Olivia Rodrigo. Why in heaven's name would anybody trust a pop star? You know, when I was younger, there was a commercial. It was they had this routine, right? One guy would come up and he'd say, you know, "I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV." And then he'd promote some medical stuff. And it got to the point where, yeah, you're not a doctor. You're an idiot who plays make-believe for a living. Why would I trust you for medical advice because you play make-believe for a living? Now, I do not know Olivia Rodrigo. I don't listen to her music. I'm assuming that she sings well if she's a pop star. But what does it have to do with medical advice? Why should we trust anything that this woman thinks about vaccination simply because she's made a career of singing for a living? How stupid are the American people? And again, Dr. Fauci went on and he said, you know, quite frankly, when they see me on television, an old guy with a suit saying to a young person, "Go get vaccinated," they say, "Well, you know, maybe, maybe not." How about, why are we listening to this buffoon who's been on both sides of the mask mandate, who told us the vaccine would never be done and then is done, who keeps telling us that we're all dying from COVID when all the numbers say we're not? This man, the man admitted on national television that even though he was vaccinated, he was wearing a mask because it was for show. And we're supposed to trust him. I wouldn't trust this man as a dog catcher. And then he wonders why people don't trust him. "Well, young people don't trust me, no, you're old." No, we don't trust you because you're an idiot. What's the old saying? Better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. Well, here we go. He then went on to say, but when they hear someone and see somebody who they admire, who they respect, they really, really make, that really, really makes a difference. Really? So in other words, we're supposed to, because people admire her for her singing abilities, they respect her for her singing abilities, suddenly now they're going to take vaccination advice from a pop star because of that? If that's the case, God help America. If we are making our decisions based on people who sing and dance and play make-believe for a living, we're doomed. We truly are doomed. He then continued, so that's the reason why everyone's excited about your taking part in what is a really a very important effort, because it's absolutely essential to get young people vaccinated. No! The CDC data proves it is not essential to get young people vaccinated. And here's what we have. This is the proof of the ridiculousness of the manipulation that has led to Fauci's demise as a trusted advisor. See, he's not out there giving you evidence or data. He's trying to persuade you with a pretty face and a nice singing voice. If the vaccine were really that good, why would you have to persuade people to take it? If it was that essential, if young people were dying en masse from COVID-19, do you really think they wouldn't be clamoring to get the vaccine? But when people look up and they see and they say, you know what, most people I know who've had COVID, they get better. And you know what, most people I know who get positive tests, you know, a lot of them, they don't even have any symptoms. So why should I take a shot for something that I have very little risk at? You see, people don't trust Fauci because he's trying to manipulate you into getting a vaccine, not with data, not with facts, with marketing. That's right. This is was it Mad Men? Is that program about the 60s marketing team? I don't know. I don't watch the program. But is that the case? In other words, you can't prove, you know, it reminds me of another old saying. If you can't dazzle them with facts, baffle them with what a friend of mine calls barnyard substance. This is barnyard substance. This is why nobody trusts Dr. Fauci, or nobody should trust Dr. Fauci. A man who has cried wolf so many times and been proven wrong so many times. And the true danger is, If there really was a disease or a variant of COVID that was truly dangerous, I mean, high mortality rates, extremely infectious, very virulent, who's going to believe anybody now? Nobody. I'm sorry, Dr. Fauci could come up and say, I have evidence, I have proof, CDC records, that there's a 50% mortality from the whatever the next variant of COVID-19 is. No one's going to believe him. The CDC's lied about the data. Fauci's lied about the severity. And now, rather than proving his point, he falls to stars, to celebrities. It's a marketing trick. It's called borrowed celebrity or something like that. Where you pump yourself up by being associated with somebody who people are excited about. So this Ms. Rodrigo, well, she's just a pawn. She's being used. Nobody believes that you know she has any expertise. Does anybody believe that she has talked to Dr. Fauci, looked at the data, validated and verified what he said, and now is putting her name on it? No. She's a rubber stamp. She's a rube. And she's a rube being used to try to get you to be a rube and follow what she says simply because she's a pretty face. That's crying wolf. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. You know, I wouldn't trust Dr. Fauci. I certainly wouldn't trust. In fact, even I don't know Ms. Rodrigo. I don't listen to her music. But again, if she's being used and manipulated for political purposes, I will. How can I ever trust anything she says again? If she doesn't have a medical degree, you know, it's interesting. There's a story about Hedy Lamarr during the 40s, considered the most beautiful woman in the world, who was also extremely intelligent. She actually helped design the frequency hopping system that makes Wi-Fi today work. And no one would listen to her because she was just a pretty face in their minds. The fact that she was a brilliant inventor didn't matter. All they saw was a pretty face. And we've learned something from that. See, now all it takes is a pretty face. It doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take brains. It doesn't take facts. They believe just a pretty face is all that's necessary for you to fall in line and do what your masters in government want you to do. I don't think they're your masters. They think they're your masters. Now again, Dr. Fauci, he is a public employee. He's part of the Department of Health and Human Services. So everything he does at work is open to public review because he's a public servant. So the Department of Health and Human Services recently delivered 311 pages of emails between Dr. Fauci and the World Health Organization. You remember that World Health Organization? You know, the one that helped China cover up the coronavirus 2 variation, whatever it is. The virus that causes COVID 2. Yeah, that continues to cover up for the covered up the fact that it could have come from a lab, that covered up its spread, that covered up the fact that China started putting in travel bans before the world was even told about it. Yeah, that World Health Organization. And they delivered 311 pages. Yeah, but you know what they did? These were heavily redacted. Meaning, there's a lot of information that your government thinks you have a right to know. And according to the reasons for some of these redactions, a lot of the redacted documents include personal edits that Fauci made related to funding measures. He said those are trade secrets. Now, the law says the government can redact details related to trade secrets as a privileged and confidential information. However, I'm again suspicious. Why are funding measures considered a trade secret? Or are they just inconvenient information that they don't want you to know? Again, crying wolf. Oh, there's nothing to see here. We're going to hide all this data for you. Trust us, there's nothing to see here. There's no reason you need to know that. How do we trust government? How does anybody trust anything that comes out of a government official's mouth? I mean, truly, how do they? You want another example? Let's look at another example. So, let's see who the CDC reported. And it came from the director's office that 83% of the COVID cases where they actually analyzed the DNA is the Delta variant. Oh my God, 83% is the Delta variant. We're all going to die from the Delta variant. You know what nobody tells you? Nobody tells you that the Delta variant is actually less deadly. See, they go, oh my God, the case rate's going up. LA's talking about locking down again, instituting a mask mandate because the case rate's going up. And it's still lower than it was last year, but oh my God, and it's the Delta variant. We're all going to die. So, of course, the only thing you can do is take the vaccine we've been telling you to. Oh my God, oh my God. Yeah, except the death rate from the Delta variant is actually less than the original COVID. As this thing is mutating, it's actually getting less virulent. And I found this very interesting article by a gentleman by the name of Matt Ridley. And he made the point that virulent does not mean infectious. See, virulent means harmful, as opposed to infectious, which means its ease of transmissibility. But what's really interesting as I read this is... he notes that respiratory viruses tend to evolve to be more transmissible, but less virulent, meaning they spread easier, but they're less dangerous. They're less harmful, which is exactly what we see with the Delta variant. It is more contagious. It's more transmissible, but it's not as harmful. It's not virulent. But you're not told that because governments and government officials are trying to scare the bejesus out of you so that you'll do what they say. This is, you know, that's why they focus on case numbers and ignore the fact that the death rate has continued to drop even during the spike of Delta. They don't tell you that, do they? Because they're crying wolf. Now, I went to get you exact numbers, but it seems like the CDC website is down. I did some checking. It looks like the CDC site's down because every time I try to go to cdc.gov, it says it cannot be found. They can't talk to it. So I'm hoping that's just a technological issue. Somebody, you know, had a problem. They brought the system down. But again, cry wolf. Point to the scary number and ignore the rest of the data. This has been going on for 18 months. This has been going on since the beginning of COVID. Everyone has hyped the infection number and ignored the death number, which is the one that really matters. I mean, if we were really concerned about infection rates, we'd be going crazy with the flu or the common cold. It's the ones that die that we really care about. Yeah, you get sick, you spend a few days home. Are there any long-term effects? We don't know yet. But again, let's cry wolf. Let's point at a number to scare everybody and then wonder why people don't believe us anymore. They've cried wolf so often. It truly is, to me, a scary situation because now, should whatever the next variant be actually be more dangerous, no one's going to believe you. So when Xavier Becerra, the head of HHS, the secretary of HHS, declares a public health emergency, blow it out your blowhole. All right. At this point, I don't trust a word you say. You are all bent out of shape because we have infection rates of a disease that we have an even greater chance of surviving. But you see, if you cry wolf, if you scare people, enough people will not bother to double check you that you can get away with it. But every time they do this, I hope more and more Americans are seeing just how much these people are lying to us. Now, I read the public health emergency. He says, I, Xavier Becerra, Secretary of Health and Human Services, pursuant to the authority vested in me under Section 319 of the Public Health Service Act, do hereby renew, effective July 20th, 2021, through the January 31st, 2020 determination, yada, 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 yada. Well, guess what? The Public Health Service Act is void. It means nothing. It is repugnant to the Constitution. It means nothing. The federal government does not have the authority to declare a public health emergency. See, the other story that's part of this is called the emperor who had no clothes. We have been trained. It has been drilled into our heads. Every one of us that's either gone to a public school or a school that uses the same textbooks, that the federal government is supreme over everything. It is not. The federal government is a creation of the states. The states delegated to it limited powers that did not include overseeing the health of the country. This is null. This is void. This is meaningless. And until we the people demand that our states resume their position as masters of their creation, i.e. the federal government, then it's up to us to do it for them. And the very first step is to educate yourself. To educate, to know what your rights are, to know what the law means, to know the boundaries of the federal government and of your state government as well, is just as important. I know you've been taught that you're a subject of the federal government. I know they don't use that term, but that's basically what they mean. You're a serf. You're a subject. But as Thomas Jefferson said, I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of society, but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. So you want to know how do I educate myself? And then how do I educate others? Well, the first thing you do is read the Constitution. It's not that hard, folks. It shouldn't take you 30 minutes is all you should need to read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If you don't already have a copy, there are dozens of organizations that give them out for free, or you can just go online, founders.gov. Just search for the Constitution and the Declaration. You can read it. You can find it. It's plain English. You don't need to be a lawyer to understand it. All you need is a basic understanding of the English language. Yeah, some of the words are spelled funny. Yes, some of the sentences are constructed a little weird and may take a little bit of time to understand. But the vast majority is simple and free and easy for you to learn. If you need some help, head to theconstitutionstudy.com. That's what I do. In fact, I've got a book. I wrote a book called Read the Constitution in 30 Days because most people don't believe me that you can read it in 30 minutes. Two and a half minutes a day. And in 1 month, you've read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And you know what? If you sign up for the newsletter, I will give it to you free. That's right. Just sign up for the newsletter. I send an email once a month letting you know what's going on here. Cancel it once you've got it. I don't care. But you'll get a free digital copy of that book. There you go. Sit down every day, two and a half minutes, 30 days, you've read it. You want a paperback version? You want some of my other books? They're available as well, both through the Constitution Study and through my other site, theconstitutionscholars.com. There's another way. One of the best things about the concept of the Constitution Study is it's not designed to be a big class. It's designed to be lots of little classes for friends and neighbors to get together and read and study for themselves. And we can help you do that. And I've got some tools to help you do that. In fact, one of the things I do twice a month on the second and fourth Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Central Time, I do a live Q&A. You can find me on YouTube or on Periscope. Just look for the Constitution Study. You can go to the website, constitutionstudy.com, watch it there. Also, but if you go to that website, you can sign up and join the Zoom room. So you'll see the calendar, just click on one of the events and sign up, and you'll get a link to join us live in Zoom, and you can ask questions, you can hear the answers, we can have a discussion. These are all tools designed to help you understand your rights, to fulfill what Jefferson said, to help educate ourselves, to exercise our powers properly. And if you want more, I'm traveling the country. I'm going around. Head to constitutionstudy.com/tour and check out the Knowing Your Rights tour. Find out where I'll be speaking, when I'll be speaking. If you want, go to the bottom of the page, invite me to come speak in your area. This is all about educating people to understand what their rights are, to see the wolf that is being cried and the reasons why we should not be listening to these people. They have blown through any credibility. And we need to learn for ourselves. We can't trust someone because they're a celebrity or because we like the music they sing or the movies they were in or the television program. We need to go and find people we can trust for the data and then vet them as well. Double check it. There's a reason why when I write an article, I put links to the documents I'm referring to. So you can double check me. That's how we regain control. Not by waiting for a political party to give it to us, but by simply standing up and recognizing we created you. We can take you out and put it in another one just like you. That's how you deal with someone who cries wolf. You don't trust them. You vet what they say. You double check what they say. And that's what the people really need to do. Now, before I head off to break, I want you to check out HealthyCell.com. Now, I take vitamins. My wife has me taking vitamins. She wants me to be healthy and hang around for a while. I guess so. My mother was always taking vitamins, and it was always a, you know, there's a stack of pills you take, right? And you go and you have to set them all out, and it's a pain. Well, Healthy Cell has taken the vitamin, which really hasn't changed since the 1930s, and they've reinvented it. They've turned it into a gel pack, one that's easy to travel, easy to take, even tastes good, believe it or not. So if you're like me sometimes when I'm traveling, or like my wife, you have a hard time falling asleep, or you just need an extra boost, well, try the REM sleep. The REM sleep is really good at helping you fall asleep and stay asleep. My wife tried it. It was the first thing time that she had gotten a really good night's sleep in a long time. And as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 20% off your first order. Just go to healthycell.com/outloud and you'll get 20% off that first order. So again, try the REM sleep or any of their other products. Keep yourself healthy. It's the best way to fight COVID is to keep yourself healthy. Keep yourself alert so that you will recognize when the people around you are just plain crying wolf.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutloud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We are talking people who cry wolf and what we the people can do to keep ourselves educated from these idiots that keep lying to us. We're going back to Dr. Fauci again, the infectious disease expert. I'm assuming he's taken some classes on it. I'm assuming he's got some knowledge. I just don't trust the word that he says. But he made a statement the other day saying that people who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19, they may want to go the extra mile and wear a mask to give both themselves and vulnerable people in their household an added layer of protection. Sure, Mr. Dr. Fauci, let's ignore the fact that most masks that you buy at the store or that you make at home don't do anything to stop the spread of a virus. The holes are too big. Let's ignore the fact that prolonged mask wearing actually has detrimental effects, especially on children. Let's ignore the fact that they promote bacterial infections in the wearers, that they promote other symptoms of over-consumption of carbon dioxide. Let's just ignore all of that and put on a face diaper. Now, if you have vulnerable people in your house, you may want to take some extra precautions. Absolutely. But how about we stop with this mask nonsense? If you really want to find, I don't know, maybe, I'm not sure, maybe an N95 mask, maybe that would help. That's not what they're talking about. Maybe some more disinfectant hand sanitizers. I don't know. This is a respiratory, as I understand it, it's a respiratory virus spread through the air. So if you're really worried about vulnerable family members, well, take some precautions that actually make sense. In fact, better yet, talk to your doctor. Find out if they're listening to the buffoons in Washington or if they're actually checking the data from medical scientists, the peer-reviewed papers, the CDC data, stuff like that. And listen to your doctor's advice. And, find out, okay, those people that are more at risk, what are the symptoms and what are the benefits of actually getting early treatment? Rather than putting on a mask that doesn't really help, maybe you keep an eye out and say, you know what, maybe there are treatments that you can use to help prevent that. Maybe you can even get treatments as a preventative measure. Remember good old hydroxychloroquine? I don't know. But I wouldn't listen to Dr. Fauci. I would talk to your doctor. Now, I've talked before about talking to doctors. It's funny because my doctor seems to have her head on pretty straight. She gives me data. She points to reports. She gives me data from the reports. I can look them up. I can double check them. They all tell me that masks don't work. They all tell me that there's plenty of treatments and that really, unless you have some fairly serious medical diseases, the treatments will help you quite readily. Now, this is opposed to one of my wife's doctors who has a PA who can't even read the CDC data, simply regurgitates what these people talk about. That's why I said, don't just go to your doctor, vet your doctor. If your doctor is repeating talking points from the news, maybe that's not the best place to go. If your doctor is dealing with medical journals and other reports and data from trusted medical sources, well, maybe you're willing to listen to them a little better. Which takes me to my next. I love this. I don't always agree with Rand Paul, but I do kind of like him. I like him because he just doesn't mess around. So Dr. Fauci was before some congressional committee. And Senator Paul was termed to question. He goes, he made this point. He says, viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of research the NIH said was subject to pause during in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding or on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Then going on to say, Dr. Fauci, knowing it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement? Previous statements about gain of function. Now, Dr. Fauci said, Senator Paul, I have never lied before Congress, and I do not retract that statement. Fauci replied, saying that qualified people had determined it did not meet the definition of gain of function. Paul protests. He says, you take an animal virus and you increase transmissibility to human. You're saying that's not gain of function? Continuing on, Senator Paul, you do not know what you're talking about, quite frankly, and I want to say that officially. Now, what's interesting is, this back and forth went on and on and on. It almost came down to what the definition of is. I mean, it was literally that point. So Senator Paul tweeted a paper that he had MIT biologist Kevin Esvelt review this paper that was published with financial assistance from Dr. Fauci's NIH NIAID and concluded, quote, certain techniques that the researchers used seem to meet the definition of gain of function. See, now, in that back and forth, am I going to listen to a man that has actual paperwork and documentation, says here's a definition, here's what it says they do, and it was reviewed and said, no, that actually does kind of meet the definition of gain of function, or a man that stands up and says, no, you're lying, you don't know what you're talking about. It says that the paper that you that came from financial assistance from your organizations, that paper included gain of function. You don't know what you're talking about. So I love, and I see people that say, I saw some replies like, I stand with Dr. Fauci in science. If you're standing with Dr. Fauci, you're not standing with science. Not because I disagree with what Dr. Fauci says, but because science is by definition controversial. It takes an assumption and it tests it. Simply relying on what one person says is not science. It's crying wolf. And to have somebody in Congress finally stand up and say, wait a second, you're telling us you didn't do this, but I have evidence that questions that. The fact that you don't like it, the fact that I may not be an expert, doesn't make it not true. So when you get an expert to review it and say, hey, guess what? Fauci's been lying to us again. And here we go again. He said, he said. And we fall down along political lines. Because we won't bother to do a little bit of fact checking. We won't look at the two sides and say, well, one of them is saying you're wrong. The other is saying, but I have data. And data should trump personality. Data should trump party. If data does not trump personality and party, well, then what are you basing your decisions on? You know, I remember a book. I used to read a lot of Tom Clancy back when, you know, his earlier books, when he was more involved in the writing. And there's one book, I remember this exchange quite vividly. Russia was being invaded, and the Russian leader asked this general, could they stand up to the invasion? And the general started saying, yes, of course. He says, no. He says, we've spent decades lying to ourselves about what we can and cannot do, and it has led to our destruction. No, we cannot defeat them without help. That's what has to happen in the American mind, is we have to stop saying what people want us to hear, what people want to hear. We have to stop making scientific decisions, medical decisions based on political outcomes. We need to make them based on the medicine, the science. Which, of course, brings up an interesting question. How do you know what the medicine and the science is if you have limited access to the actual data? See, when we have a White House communications director threatening to combat, quote-unquote, irresponsible content. Yeah, White House communications director Kate Beginfield said that President Biden will review eliminating legal protections for social media companies to prevent users from sharing bad information about COVID-19 vaccines. I find this very interesting in the light of the recent articles, the recent information, when Jen Psaki confessed on national TV that the White House was flagging accounts for Facebook to mark as misinformation. Now we have the president reviewing, punishing social media to prevent users from doing that. Oh, if you're not going to take our suggestion, then we'll just change the rules. We'll allow you to be sued. Do what we want, or we take away your protection. Now, the Section 230 is unconstitutional. It is a blatant violation of the First Amendment. It denies you your right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Not because you're advocating something illegal. No, just because the site found it potentially offensive. They thought maybe somebody would find it offensive. The government violated the Constitution, and now this White House wants to use that illegal act to punish those who don't take down information they don't like, information that they think is bad. When are the American people going to have enough? When are we going to stand up and let the government punish communications companies for its sharing information that the government doesn't like? A blatant violation of your freedom of speech and freedom of press. Why are we supporting a president that was more than happy to leave Section 230 in place when it was beating up on Republicans, but when social media doesn't do what they want, they're ready to rip that aside and sue or allow other people to sue for them? Doesn't anybody else see the despotism of this, the utter despotism of abridging your freedom of speech? I mean, it's one thing when a private company makes private decisions. Those should be dealt with in the court of law, or preferably a court of justice. But when the federal government uses its power to threaten private companies to to comply with their will to suppress the speech of their citizens. It is time for the American people to stand up and say no. It is time for the American people to recognize the utter despotism of our current government. In the Declaration of Independence, we read, "The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world." Well, we have the facts. We have the evidence that King Biden has repeatedly injured and usurped power with the direct object of establishing an absolute tyranny over the states and over its citizens. And the proof is there. The proof of a White House director saying that, yeah, Biden's going to look at this, and if they don't comply with our wishes, we're going to take away your legal protections. With governments saying, yes, we are going to flag stuff we don't like and get people to take it down. Can you think of another example of absolute tyranny over the states? When we have rioters that are allowed to run free while other demonstrators are locked up simply for their political opinion, their political position. What do you call that? When you have the government scarfing up in direct contradiction of the Constitution, vast quantities of land to control the people. When you have government threatening the states to comply with their wishes, what else can you call it but a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object, evidence designed to reduce them under absolute despotism? It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. It is our right, it is our duty to throw these bums out. Now, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they knew it meant war. They knew it meant a shooting war. They knew that their lives were on the line. We don't have to do that. We don't have to go that far, but we better stand up. We better recognize what is being done to us and to our children and to their children. Because if we don't, that despotism will continue to crush the American people, to crush freedom and liberty until that sacred fire is extinguished, not just here in America, but in the world. And by the way, it is not just government that is doing this. Government has the force of power. They have the authority to use force, but it's not just them. I have a report from a Washington Post reporter, columnist Jennifer Rubin. She said in an op-ed that corporate America must commit to action on voting rights. What does corporate America have to do with voting rights? I thought voting was a government function, and I thought the government was responsible to we the people, not in the communist dictatorship that apparently Ms. Rubin wishes to put in place. She decried that there was a letter that 150 companies urging Congress to enact John Lewis's Voting Rights Advancement Act, a dangerous bill that basically violates the basic principles of a republic and of federalism, the idea that states are not subjects to the government, the federal government, they are its creators, that they are their own republics. She then on to say, the letter, however, was silent on the rash of Jim Crow laws pushed by Republicans and state legislatures or on whether they would support some version of H.R. 1. There's the answer. You want to know why you cannot trust the media? Because they are crying wolf. There is no Jim Crow in any law I've seen coming out of any state legislature, Republican or Democratic, about voting or anything else. Her big deal is she realizes that H.R. 1 has failed. Now she wants the corporations to apply pressure. Why do we not trust the media? because they are a bunch of lying hypocrites. And unfortunately, they've made it so bad that they're basically guilty until proven innocent, which is really a sad state of affairs. In her mind, in the mind of this Washington Post reporter, corporations should overrule the will of the people as expressed by their legislatures. Now, she is absolutely free to say this. She's free to absolutely, I do not say this. I do not wish her banned. I do not want to shut down. This is proof of the tyranny and lies of the media. This is evidence that they should not be trusted. This is proof that you should not trust these people. You should verify everything they say. They talk. She talks about corporate America should be working to preserve democracy and the rule of law. Excuse me, Ms. Rubin. The rule of law says we are not a democracy. Every time you hear someone refer to America as a democracy or American democracy, understand they are proving their ignorance. They are showing themselves to be fools. We are a republic. That republic works on the rule of law. And the rule of law says the states, through their legislature, get to determine how voting gets done, not the federal government. So go on, Ms. Rubin. Continue to prove yourself to be a fool. And if you're out there and you subscribe to the Washington Post, unless you're doing it for opposition research, I have to wonder why. Why are you supporting such tyranny, such doublespeak, such nonsense? Why? In another example, it's not just the Washington Post. So at a press briefing, a Fox News correspondent, I don't care that it's Fox News, it just happened to be Fox News, he asked the secretary, the press secretary, Jen Psaki, a series of questions related to her previous comments. She commented that the White House would flag misinformation and send that to Facebook. And she claimed that someone who is banned from one social media platform should be banned from all social media platforms. Now, Ms. Psaki did her little dance. That's what you expect, right? That, you know, the White House has flagged misinformation, but they didn't actually take anything down. They were just suggesting this is their recommendation. She said Facebook and any private sector company makes decisions about what information should be on their platform. And immediately after, we started seeing members of the mainstream media, the lying corporate media, not mainstream, the propaganda media, the Pravda media, attacking this Fox News reporter for asking these very questions, referring it to as an embarrassing blunder or poorly conceived effort to get Psaki to discuss culture war issues. It sounded to me like he was trying to understand what she actually said, to flesh that out. This person from the Washington Post was not alone. CNN's Jake Tapper claimed that this Fox News reporter, the question was premised on a lie. Excuse me, we've got video evidence that is what she said. Do you want to know why you cannot trust the mainstream, the Pravda media? Because of this. They are crying wolf. You have someone saying, hey, look, there's a problem with what this press secretary has said. This seems problematic. Let me flesh it out. And they immediately say, oh, no, no, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Now, I've talked about Ms. Psaki's confession of malfeasance, confession of a crime. But we're back to if you have the news media, which has so badly misrepresented pretty much everything that they claimed about President Trump for 4 years has been proven wrong. They've blown the coverage of the election for the last two presidential cycles. And now you hear them covering for the White House. Why in God's name do you trust any of them? Why? And if you don't trust them, are you doing anything that's funding them? Are you watching CNN? Are you subscribed to the Washington Post or any of these other quote unquote, you know, these news articles, these propaganda outlets? How often do they have to be proven to be liars before we stop listening to them? I stopped listening to them years ago. I get information. If I have to get information, it's generally about an article that I want to talk about, and it's generally because of something stupid they've done. But here we have a legitimate question. The press secretary of the President of the United States said they are flagging information for a social media arm to look at as under their policies, and that if someone gets banned from one platform, they should be banned from all platforms. And asking questions about that, asking them to flesh that out, is now considered verboten in the propaganda media, in the Pravda media. And we're supposed to believe anything they say. I think that's my new term for them, the Pravda media. These are not people bringing you information. These are people manipulating you through information. Now, I don't trust Fox News more than any of the others, by the way. I'm not a Fox News fan. I have a few places where I get information. I talk about them here. The Daily Caller, the Daily Signal. I get it from Epoch Times. I get it from the Tennessee Star. You know, I live in Tennessee, but that's part of the whole Star network. I get it from a lot of other places as well, but I don't generally trust it directly. I'm looking for confirmation from other sources. And we need to do that. We need to stop listening to people who are crying wolf. We need to stop running around with our heads cut off just because some idiot with a good hairdo tells us that this is bad and dangerous. The Delta variant's spreading. Yes, so what? Trump is a bad man. Okay, what did he do that's wrong? Show me. I mean, he did help bring peace to several countries in the Middle East, but we don't want to worry about that. See, that's you know, you're being manipulated. There was an insurrection on January 6th. There was not an insurrection on January 6th. There was a demonstration, and apparently several people took it too far, some of which with the cooperation of the Capitol Police. Video evidence, proof, not the words of somebody, video of the Capitol Police allowing demonstrators into the Capitol. And we are supposed to listen to everybody who says, don't pay. What are you going to believe? Your lying eyes or the pretty blonde on TV? You're going to listen to your lying eyes or the pop star? You're going to listen, believe your lying eyes or the buffoon that's been not only that's been lying to you and he's been caught lying to you and he keeps lying to you? You're going to believe your lying eyes or the media that has made a career of lying to you? And here's the biggest one. Ask yourself this. How can you tell when a politician is lying? The general answer revolves something around, well, their lips are moving. What does it say about the American people that we hire people we know are lying to us? And that the ones that do it best are the ones we keep around the longest. See, the problem isn't with Washington. It isn't with the media. It isn't with the pop stars. It isn't with the CDC or the NIH. The problem's with the American people. The fact that we have gotten so lazy. We think that freedom is natural, that freedom doesn't take any effort. We think that if we just sit back and be quiet, our rights will be there forever. We fail to learn the lesson of history. That freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. That's from Ronald Reagan. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. You want to know what's going to happen if we don't stop listening to the people who are crying wolf? Our freedom is disappearing. It's been taken away by them. It's been subjugated by them. It's been infringed upon by them. And we let it happen. And until we stand up and stand our ground and refuse to be manipulated anymore by these people who are lying to us, who are crying wolf, until we do that, we will never be truly free. We will be subject to their whim, to their manipulation, to their fear-mongering, and we will be slaves to their preferences. We will not be able to make our own decisions as long as we are living under the fear, the tyranny of fear, propagated by lies, propagated by misinformation, propagated by people who have an agenda. Stop listening to someone because they are famous. Start looking for yourself. And if you need help finding information, come see me at the Constitution Study or find someone else. I really don't care who, as long as they're teaching you the truth and teaching you to be free. Now, don't forget, all of my shows typically go to podcast a day or two after the broadcast. You can hear them on the radio station. You can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart, anywhere you get podcasts. Find them on the website under the show Constitution Study. Share them, subscribe to them, give me a rating, and help share the blessings of liberty.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.